There's an old-time saying comes out of, I think, the Pentecostal movement. At least that's where I'm hearing it, but here's the saying. Get under the spout where the glory's pouring out. Or how about this? Get under the spout where the glory is pouring out. Would you please welcome Doug Turpinning?
Well, I think this morning is going great. I didn't know what song my daughter was going to sing, but wasn't that great, right? And what we're going to talk about is kind of what she sang for us. I'm just going to reread the words. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. Do I need to step back? Okay, I'll step back. All righty. And so we're going to talk about that today. But first, I got to tell you a story. Unfortunately, it's not a good story. It's a bad story. So a burglar breaks into a house. And he starts looking around the house. He doesn't find much of value. But all of a sudden, he goes in the living room. And bingo, silver. All the good silver is right there. And he knows the price of silver is high right now. And he starts grabbing the silver and throwing it in the bag. And he is super excited. Then he hears a voice. The Holy Spirit is watching. He looks around, doesn't think much of it, and goes back and keeps grabbing the forks and the knives. And then he finds the big servers and he throws them in there and he hears another. The Holy Spirit is watching. He's now getting a little creeped out, but he's not too creeped out. And he keeps going. He's getting more and more. And then all of a sudden he hears it a third time. The Holy Spirit is watching. Well, now he's like, what is going on? So he turns on his flashlight. He points it to where he hears the sounds. And it's a parrot. And he laughs. It's just a stupid parrot. And as he shines a light at the parrot says, Holy Spirit bites. And he thought, what? And as he goes back to grab the silverware, he hears the growl. And as he grabs his flashlight, he shines it just in time to see the Rottweiler and the Pitbull with the name tags, Holy and Spirit, headed right at him. So today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, which I'm super excited to talk about. And it's kind of really cool how the service has gone today, that it's just kind of like he's just kind of going where he wants to take it, which is really awesome. So if you're following us in our reading, we're Acts 1 through 15. So I'm going to give you a context for anybody who didn't read it. Acts 1, Jesus is still on the earth, and he tells the disciples, in just a moment, God's going to give you the gift that he's been promising you. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit shows up on everybody, which we now call Pentecost, where everybody in the building starts speaking in tongues and has tongues of fire above them. And from there, then you get Peter, goes with the Gentiles, and God confirms that, yes, the good news is for all the Gentiles. And you see the Holy Spirit in 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, doing amazing things. There's miracles, there's people speaking in tongues, all sorts of wonderful things are happening. Persecution starts coming to the church. We have Saul goes to Paul in the famous Damascus, right? Road, the light, all those types of things are happening in 1 through 15. And so we're going to focus on what does the Holy Spirit. And here's my hope for you to wrestle with this question. This is the question. What good is the Holy Spirit to you? Today, next week, next month, and next year. Super practical. Not theoretical, not theological, not little, well, blah, blah. My question for us today is to answer, what good is the Holy Spirit for you today? So the way I hope that you get to wrestle with this, and some of you already know, super, some of you that don't know, super, but Anna and somebody else is going to hand out some papers. Before I start, there's 5 questions I'm going to ask you to answer for yourself. You don't have to, you're no grading. I'm not the homeschool teacher, so there'll be no grading of your answers. You don't have to share your answers. No one's going to be put on the spot. But before we start, I would love for you to answer. It's double-sided, so if you can't see the four questions, flip the page over and you'll see the four questions. And the first one is, who is the Holy Spirit? So I'm going to give you about 5 minutes to answer these questions. If we need pens, Amanda, are there pens somewhere by chance? So if you need a pen, raise your hand, and Anna and kids will get it. So I'm going to give you 5 minutes right now. Answer these questions for yourself, please. Okay, we're going to jump into this. In John, I think it's chapter 14, is when Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. And then I forgot to look up the other scripture, but it's very clear that part of the reason God gave us the Holy Spirit is to remind us of everything that Jesus taught them. And that he tells us, Paul tells us later that part of the reason he gave us the Holy Spirit is for us to understand the truths of God. So while I'm absolutely going to fill in some things today, I want to hear from you guys. So here's the thing though. You have to be very selective on when you're going to answer which question, because you get to answer one question. You only get to answer one time. You only get to speak up one time. So everybody that wants to gets a chance to speak up. Alrighty? So, who has an answer for question number one? Who is the Holy Spirit? Comforter. Excellent. Excellent, excellent. Jesus tells us that he would be our comforter in times of need and at all times. Excellent. What else? One third of the triune God. Can I even say this, that he is God? Is that all right? So he is God. Excellent. Anybody else?
The power of God working in and through his people.
Excellent. The power of God working through and in his people. So the two things that I wanted you to get from that, if you see below, there's question number one, there's a couple of verses in there. I'm just going to highlight them real quickly. For those of you, I got to back up, sorry. So when I talk, I bounce around. Imagine living with me, my poor wife. Like there's like four conversations in my head and I give them to her at different times. And I'll try to do it to you today. Part of the reason I'm doing this is like I was asking my kids this question and I realized that I hadn't done a very good job of talking to them about who is the Holy Spirit. And so some of you may not know who the Holy Spirit is, and that's very normal because he's kind of like... He sometimes is like that step cousin that we sort of know, but sort of don't know, but we don't really always know about him, kind of a thing. So if you don't know about him, no worries. That's why we're doing this today. So I want to give you three verses that highlight that he is God. Acts 5 is when Ananias came and brought money to Peter and said, "This is all the money that I've given to you." And Peter replies back, and I think it might be on the screen. If not, no worries. That Peter says, "Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit?" And in the very same sentence says, "Why have you lied to God?" Linking them equal that the Holy Spirit and God were the same. Genesis 1, 2, and there's plenty of room in there, so if you want to write any notes, feel free to write anything that you want to. Genesis 1, 2 says that the Spirit of God was there before the creation of the world. So he's eternal there from the beginning. And lastly, Jesus says in Matthew 28:19, "Go into all the world and baptize them in the name of what? The Father, the Son." Again, equating them all equal, all God, all together. So I think it's pretty amazing, again, that the Holy Spirit is God Almighty. The other two that came out of Acts that I thought were very interesting is in Acts 1:4, Jesus says this. Once when he, Jesus, was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift, the Holy Spirit, he promised as I told you before." So the Holy Spirit is a gift to us, which is really an amazing concept. That I often think of salvation as a gift from God and freedom, and the Holy Spirit is just like it. Like, I don't earn the Holy Spirit. I don't work to get the Holy Spirit. Like, it is part of the salvation package and gift from God. Alrighty. Question number two. Who gets the Holy Spirit? Question to you guys. Who gets the Holy Spirit? You can't answer a second time. Anybody else? Who else?
I'm going to use one that's not on your list. Then we go back to Joel. He says he was in the prophecy of the forecoming of the Holy Spirit. He said he was born of all of them.
So in Joel, he says, all flesh. And actually, Acts references that passage as well. On all flesh. Great.
That doesn't mean that all flesh take advantage of it.
But it's available. Excellent. Who else would we say? Could we even... Excellent. Anyone else that would clarify that down a little bit? This is an easy answer. This is like the easiest one of them all. Anyone who believes in Jesus. Bingo. Great. So, Acts... So, you guys nailed them both. Excellent. Acts 10... Paul goes to Cornelius' house, who is a Gentile, who is an enemy. The Gentiles were enemies of the Jews. He didn't want to go there. He walks in. He starts telling them about the good news of Jesus Christ. He just tells them about them, and blammo, the Holy Spirit shows up, clearly comes on them, and he says, just by them believing on them. And then, you've already referenced it in Acts 2. It says, in the last day, God says, here, you mind putting this one up, Madison? Sorry, I'm flying. Acts 2. I think this is amazing. In the last day, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. The reason I wanted to highlight this is that he says that he will pour out his spirit on everyone. So it's not just pastors, just Skip. It's not just super spiritual people. It's not just special people. But that we all who know Christ have access to the Holy Spirit, which is a phenomenal concept. Okay, question number 3. How do you get a special filling or experience of the Holy Spirit? So I'm trying to avoid controversy about the whole Holy Spirit thing, but saying, can we at least agree there at times that there are special moments that people can and do experience with the Holy Spirit. So how do people experience that? Yes?
Well, there would be more than one way, but one way is God just decides to land.
The unexpected. God chooses, I'm showing up over your flesh and everything and blessing you. Amen. Excellent one. Any way else, even in Acts, that we can say how it happened? How else did people in the book of Acts get it? So multiple times in Acts, they were praying together as a group. So they were in some sort of an intense prayer meeting. The place shakes, or even not. And it says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Excellent. After prayer. Other ones. Anybody else? Yes?
Peace.
Peace and joy. Excellent. Excellent. That when the Holy Spirit comes upon these people, there is great peace and joy. Excellent. How else do people receive it? Okay, Don. Give me another one.
By the laying on of hands.
Oftentimes in Acts, they talk about how they would lay their hands on them and people would receive the Holy Spirit. Anywhere else? I think that's pretty much it. I want to back up and just say one thing to clarify this. The very first scripture there is Ephesians 1, right? Listed there under question number 3. Is that right? So Ephesians 1 says this, and now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit whom he promised long ago. I think it's amazing that the evidence that God has sealed you, that you are saved, is the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And that they are one, they are the same. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit filling us, that's used a lot in Scripture, in Acts it's used a lot, even in Paul writes about it. You get filled by the Holy Spirit by believing in him, and it happens to all of us. How, I think someone already said it, how we choose to do with it is the question. If you want, let's see, I'm just going to reread these because you guys nailed them all. Acts 4:31, that's listed there. People receive the Holy Spirit after a prayer meeting. Acts 8 and 9, that is listed there. It was the laying on of hands. And Acts 10, was, someone said it was the unexpected, that they were just hearing God and he unexpectedly decided to take over. But the two that I want to stop on are Acts 6 and Acts 11. And this is what they say. Everyone, so they were talking about, we want to choose some deacons to help us do more work. And afterwards they say, everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. That there seems to be a connection between full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. Acts 11, they said this: Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith. Again, the same connection, full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. That those two seem to go together a lot. Alrighty. Question number four is, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Someone's already said it, peace and joy. Yes. Light in a dark world. Excellent answer. What else does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit?
Comforted.
Did I leave two fours there?
The outcomes of being filled with that one
thing. Oh, maybe I changed it up on what I printed for you guys.
It's a different question on the back where you
list your is it? Oh, yeah. So what are some outcomes to being filled with the Holy Spirit? Same question. Excellent. Excellent. That you have the boldness to tell others about Jesus.
Okay.
Excellent. Anything else? Outcomes from being filled. Yes.
It changes your life.
It changes your life. Excellent. Excellent. Yes, it does change your life when you've been filled by the Spirit. Helps us to see the truth. Excellent answer. Excellent. Gives us wisdom and the ability to see the truth. Excellent answers. Isn't that a great one? That is. Did everybody, I'll say it again for him in case you didn't hear it. You have the confidence that you get to go to heaven. Absolutely true.
Scriptures call it a guarantee.
A guarantee that you get to go to heaven. Excellent. Anybody else? Absolutely. Excellent point. It's not a one-time event that happens and then we get to cruise. It's not like we get married and we're done investing in that relationship, right? Right? It's an excellent, it's a great ongoing work. Yes, Andrea, and then I'm going to move on here.
Okay, one more outcome is
fruit
of the Spirit.
Fruit of the Spirit. You cheated. So Larry, I think, picking on Larry, Jesus says the reason he's sending us the Holy Spirit, if you read Acts 1:8, he says so that you will testify about me, about the wonderful things I've done around the world. So absolutely, one of the reasons that the Holy Spirit is there for us to tell others about Jesus. Acts 2:11, this is when they were first filled with the Holy Spirit and they're speaking in tongues. And people said, they are saying wonderful things about God. And I want to stop here for just a moment because I wonder, I think it's great. Like, I loved this morning. I absolutely loved Pat's testimony. I loved what everybody said because I love to hear the awesome things that God has done in our lives. And I think a main reason that God has given us the Holy Spirit, and Lynn, I think you said it well, is that to remind us that He's in control, and then we get to tell of His greatness to others. Like, it's that great relationship. So that's it. Acts 2, obviously they were speaking in tongues in Acts or in other languages. Acts 13, they are doing miracles. They are healing people throughout. I've already read it. Acts 2, 17 to 18. They says that in the end times, people will have dreams, prophecies, and visions. Okay. I said all that to say this. I've done all that to say this. The question for us is, is the Holy Spirit real and active in my life and in your life? And what do I expect from him. So I think when I read Acts and I see people speaking in tongues, healings, and all these amazing things happening that don't happen in Doug Turpin's life, that I think, am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Am I not filled with the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to filled by the Holy Spirit? Am I supposed to work harder? Am I not good enough? Am I not loving enough? And I love Galatians 5, 16 through 26. Because Paul is writing to people just like Doug Turpin to say, hey, you want to know what the Holy Spirit's for? You want to know what he's around for? You want to know how to know him? Let me tell you. So on the screen, you'll see Galatians 16. One more slide, please. And he says this, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. So I think one of the key things that matters in us following the Holy Spirit is to let him guide my life. Now, how does that happen in your life and how does it happen in mine? I can't tell you how it happens in yours. I can only tell you how it happens in Doug Turpin's. Again, I don't go on enough walks with God, but when I do, and I have bad things happening in my life, my relationships aren't the way I like, I don't like work as much, or sometimes I just don't like what God is doing, and I tell him, and then I often say, Holy Spirit, please take this. Please solve this. Please guide my life. It's instead of me trying to fix it, it's me giving it over to him and letting him do it. So when I read that, it's totally about how do I get the Holy Spirit to guide my life. Continuing on, then you won't do what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. One way that I know when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit is what are my desires. It is very easy for me to be very sinful desires. But what I'm learning in my life is when I seek God and I seek the Holy Spirit, the very desires within me change. So what do they change from? If you could skip a couple slides to 19. So here are the normal sinful desires. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful desires, which we all go, okay, yeah, those are the biggies. Continue on. Next slide. Idolatry, sorcery, don't have those. Hostilities, maybe quarreling, get a little closer. Jealousy, I don't like that one. Anger, really don't like that one. Selfish ambition, really don't like that one. Dissension, division, and envy. Drunkenness we can throw off. But how many of us sit there and think of envy and drunkenness and idolatry in the same breath? Or bursts of anger or selfish ambition? And yet what I have learned in Doug's interpreting life is I used to be an angry man. Like, I think I've told you my story of my 2.5-year-old daughter walking up to me and saying, I'm afraid of you because you are an angry man. And me going, I think I have to change. But it wasn't until the Holy Spirit got a hold of Doug Turpin that anger changed within me. And so for me, I have found that when I pursue God, all these desires drop off. And you know what desires come in its place? If you could skip forward a whole bunch here. To the classic fruits of the Spirit, and which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all those things. But let's be honest. How many of us in this room really want kindness? Like, really? Like, let's think. Would I rather have a bigger house or kindness? I'm going bigger house, right? Who would like a truck that's a little bit bigger and can pull a little bit more? I'd like that over goodness, I'll be honest, right? Like, how much do I really want the fruits of the Spirit versus the stuff of life around me? And yet here's, just real briefly, for Doug Turpin, I was making a lot of money, and I was miserable. I was absolutely miserable. The last couple of years when we couldn't afford nearly anything, life was a lot better. The only difference was me seeking God and trying to pursue him. The only difference was learning to trust in him. So in closing, you have three verses there that I want to close about. And this is the thing I want to get us to is, A, What do we think the Holy Spirit really does for us today that we really value? And I think one of the greatest signs if we're filled by the Holy Spirit is joy. Joy might mean something different to you. It might be peace, but I think joy. So Acts 11 is there. When Barnabas arrived, he saw the evidence of God's blessing. He was filled with joy, and he encouraged the believers to stay true to God. Barnabas shows up in Antioch, and he sees the evidence of God's blessing. Like, I think, how many people would walk into the Turbine household and go, man, I see the evidence of God's blessing. These people are joyful, they're happy, and they know it's because of God. Like, I'm not sure that's what it would be. Number two, Acts 13, 50 through 52. Then the Jews stirred up the influential religious women and the leaders of the city, and they incited a mob against Paul and Barnabas and ran them out of town. So they shook the dust from their feet as a sign of rejection and went to the town of Iconium. And the believers were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've ever been run out of town. Probably not the best thing in life you've ever experienced. And yet, what was their thing? Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they could have joy in the midst of it. It doesn't say, and the reason I chose this one, it doesn't say, and the Holy Spirit showed up and struck every single one of them with blindness, and they continued to preach the Word of God. Right? Like, that's what I often think every story in Acts is about. But even in the bad things, he still showed up, that they could still have joy because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the last one that Paul writes to us in Romans 15, in conclusion, is this. He says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So Paul says, I hope that you'll be completely filled with a bigger house, a great 401k retirement. Your children will actually like you, right? Like, it's none of those things, right? Like, nowhere in the Bible does he say, this is what I'm going to give you. Instead, he tells you, I'm going to give you joy and peace. Which, if you've experienced the joy and peace of God, it's amazing. It is way better than a bigger house. It is way better. I think it's way better than a nice truck. I'm not sure, but I think it is. Right? Like if you've experienced it, really is. But then he says, then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Like, it is all connected through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So, real quick story. There's a man, he was married, and he had a buddy, and so there's two couples. They were religious, so they kind of did the God thing, and they kind of went to church, but it was just kind of what they did. They didn't really, like, follow, they didn't really read the Bible, they kind of, you know what I mean, they just kind of went through the motions, but really didn't know God. Well, one of the wives, all of a sudden, as somebody said, unexpectedly gets smacked by the Holy Spirit and comes alive. Starts speaking in tongues, but far more than that, that was irrelevant to the fact that this person was living full of joy. And there was something contagious about that joy. And then so there's two couples, the other lady as well unexpectedly gets the same thing. And now they have two people who are full of joy, and the two husbands are looking on the outside going, what the heck are these crazy girls doing? Not only that, now they're getting all religious and going to more of these Jesus meetings. What the heck is this junk about? So, some of you may or may not have heard the story, so they start mocking these people and calling them the Abba Dabba girls and saying, what kind of crazy girls would care about this? But here's the interesting thing. These two ladies were so full of joy and had been changed that these two skeptical husbands said, at the next meeting, we're going to go and just check you out. And really what I'm going for is to mock you. But secretly, I'm sort of interested in what this is. Service happens, nothing happens. So they have up front, people are praying, piano's over here. And one of the guys walks up, sort of near the front, just to get a closer look. Not really interested yet in totally what it is, but walks up a little closer, gets near the table, starts noticing what's happened, and guess what happens? The Holy Spirit comes along, smacks this dude square, and he comes alive to who God is. This guy gets so alive that he decides to become a pastor. And then from there, he gets so alive, he decides to go to a small town in eastern Oregon for a while. And then he comes back to Hillsboro. And then he decides to pastor in a little town called Banks, Oregon, at a church called Day Springs for 26 years without getting paid. And now he is alive and has a joy that is uncontainable because of the Holy Spirit hitting him. I can tell you, in my life, I go up and down with God all the time. And I wish I would stay on the ups, right? Like, it's great when I follow him. But when I'm in the ups, that joy is so amazing. So my question to you is, what is the Holy Spirit do for you today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year? Like, do you really want joy over money? Do you really want peace over all the stuff that the world is trying to tell you is what will make you happy? I'm not saying that you can't have both. I'm not saying you can't have both. But I'm saying our flesh is at war so much with what we want. But do we really seek the Holy Spirit for all that he can give us and realize that joy, peace, and hope are unbelievable gifts that only those of us that know Christ and seek the Holy Spirit can know? So, two things. One, if you have questions about the Holy Spirit, I would highly encourage you to ask Skip about him. And two, James is going to come up and play the piano for just a moment. And I'm going to ask us all just to either bow your head or quietly ask God about the Holy Spirit in you. Ask him, I want more of the Holy Spirit. I want you to reveal yourself to me. I want to know you better. But I would love for you to interact with what you want from God and know that you can tell him anything. If you're in pain and agony and you're like, I'm not even sure if I know who this God is. I don't know if I really trust him. You can tell him that and he can handle it. There's nothing you can't say to him that he can't handle it. So while James plays for 2 or 3 minutes, I'm just going to ask us all silently to say, Holy Spirit, ask you to talk to God specifically about the Holy Spirit in your life.
I was struck while Doug was speaking this morning that I don't think that I always have that expectation that the Holy Spirit wants to walk with me every day, that he wants to be speaking to me, that he wants to be orchestrating things in my life. And I was just convicted, like, do I expect it? Or do I kind of maybe wonder if it really can happen? So Acts 1:8 says, here's the knowledge you need. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, first here in Jerusalem, then beyond to Judea and Samaria, and finally to the farthest places of the earth. And he wants to give us boldness to tell our story, like many of you did this morning during our testimony time. So we're going to sing this song. We've sung it a couple times. It's called My Story. We actually heard it in the video this morning.
Amen. Come, Lord God, fill each one. Give us that obedience to follow you. Amen? Everything that we ask God to do for us, I think, is triggered or released or enhanced by us being willing to let him work. It really comes down to who's in charge. I am so good at being in charge of my life. And then I wonder, where'd God go? Show us your glory, O God. Show us your power. Show me, Father, how to yield to you. Give me that desire. Give me that ability. Give me that Jesus smack so that we can yield. Amen? Amen. God bless you, church. It's good to worship together. Amen? Hug a few necks. We have some fellowship. And certainly, if you have any questions that have been prompted this morning, please come up and we'd be glad to talk about it.